All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive that'll take us into the world of law. We're talking grocery stores, broken dreams, and a legal idea called promissory estoppel that just might make you think twice about the power of a simple promise.
This case, Hoffman versus Red Owl Stores, it really gets to the heart of whether a promise, even if it's not all written up in a contract, can still have serious consequences.
So we've got Mr. Hoffman wanting to own his own Red Owl store, and he's going up against, well, the entire supermarket chain. What exactly happened here?
Well, Hoffman, he took some big steps, and he did it all based on what Red Owl was telling him.
Okay, like what?
He sold his business, put money down on a piece of land for this new store, even sold off his bakery building. He thought, based on what Red Owl had said, that he was on his way to getting a franchise.
Wow, he really went all in. But you said there wasn't a formal contract. So how could he hold Red Owl responsible if nothing was signed?
That's where this idea of promissory estoppel comes into play. It's a legal principle. And it basically says that if someone makes a clear promise and then someone else relies on it and gets hurt because of it, the court can step in to make things right, even if there's no formal contract.
So can you give me an example, like relating to Hoffman's situation, of how his actions would fit into this promissory estoppel concept?
Absolutely. Think about Hoffman selling that bakery building. He did it because Red Owl assured him he was getting a franchise. That's a prime example of what they call detrimental reliance, which is a big part of promissory estoppel. He took a huge financial risk based on their promise, and that's exactly the kind of situation this legal principle is meant to address.
So the court had to decide if Red Owl's promises were just, I don't know, casual talk or something they could actually be held to even without a contract. What did they decide?
The court ended up siding with Hoffman. They said that Red Owl's actions had created a situation where Hoffman had good reason to rely on their promises, and to just let them back out would be completely unfair. It wasn't just about a missing contract. It was about making sure Red Owl couldn't just take advantage of Hoffman's trust.
Sounds like a classic underdog story where this time the little guy wins.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't just a feel-good story, right? I mean, this decision had to have some lasting effects in the legal world, didn't it?
Absolutely. The Hoffman versus Red Owl Stores case, it became a really important ruling. It really solidified the recognition of promissory estoppel in lots of places. And it sent a message to businesses. Even those casual promises, they can have legal consequences, especially if someone relies on them and ends up worse off because of it.
So the court ruled for Hoffman. But how did they decide what a fair solution would be? What kind of compensation did he get?
The court awarded Hoffman damages for a bunch of things he lost, like the money he lost selling his bakery building for less than it was worth, the down payment he'd made on that land for the store, and even his moving expenses. They were trying to put him back in the financial position he would have been in if he had never trusted Red Owl's promises.
That makes sense. But I have to ask, were there any parts of those damages that were, I don't know, controversial or hard to figure out? After all, this was a business that never even opened.
Yeah, you're right. Trying to figure out damages for a business that never even existed, that's got to be tough. Did the court run into any problems trying to do that?
Oh, definitely. One thing in particular caused a lot of debate: the damages related to all of Hoffman's, you know, grocery store stuff, fixtures, equipment, inventory, you name it. At first, the jury gave him a pretty big amount for all of that.
Why was that stuff such a big deal? I mean, was it just about figuring out what it was all worth? It was a little more complicated than that. The court actually ordered a whole new trial, a retrial, specifically to take another look at those damages. The problem was, how do you put a price on a business that never had a chance to, you know, actually be a business? Like, how do you calculate lost profits for a store that never even opened its doors? It's like a ghost store.
Okay, I see what you mean. It wasn't enough to just say, hey, here's what all this stuff is worth. They had to consider what Hoffman could have made if things had gone differently.
Right. And the court had to be really careful. They wanted to make sure Hoffman was compensated fairly, but they also didn't want to just hand him a bunch of money that wasn't really based on anything concrete. If they'd given him everything he asked for future profits, it would have been like, I don't know, giving him a winning lottery ticket for a lottery he never even played.
So how did they go about recalculating those damages in the retrial? Did they, like, consult a fortune teller to predict the future of this imaginary grocery store?
Well, not a fortune teller, but they did use something a bit more reliable: expert testimony. They brought in people who specialize in valuing, you know, grocery store assets, people who could give their professional opinions.
So these experts had to basically imagine, what if this store had opened? And then estimate what someone would pay for all of Hoffman's equipment and inventory.
Exactly. They were focused on determining what's called the fair market value. They looked at how old the stuff was, what condition it was in, and what similar things were selling for in the market. It was all about basing those damages on a realistic assessment of what Hoffman actually lost, you know, what he was actually out.
That makes sense. But did they take into account, I don't know, the less tangible parts of a business? I'm talking about things like the potential to build up a loyal customer base or having a good reputation in the community, what some people call goodwill.
Right? That's a great point. And the court did acknowledge that goodwill could be a factor when you're figuring out fair market value. But in this case, they weren't willing to put a specific dollar amount on it.
Why not? Seems like that could have been a big loss for Hoffman.
Well, they felt like trying to award damages for goodwill in this particular situation would have been, I don't know, too much guesswork. Since the store never actually opened, there was no way to really measure what kind of customer loyalty or brand recognition it could have built up. You know, it's kind of like trying to guess how many jelly beans are in a jar without opening it. Just too much speculation.
So after all that back and forth, what was the final decision on the damages after they had the retrial? Did Hoffman end up getting anything?
Oh, yeah, he did. The jury, they listened to the court's instructions and they considered all the expert testimony and they came up with a new damages award. It was less than the first one, but the important thing is that the court was really trying to be fair. They wanted to compensate Hoffman for what he'd actually lost, but they didn't want to give him anything that was based on, you know, just guesses or speculation.
Sounds like that retrial was really important to make sure things were fair for both sides. It wasn't about punishing Red Owl. It was about finding a solution that made sense, given how complicated the situation was.
Exactly. That retrial really shows how committed the court was to looking at damage claims carefully, especially in unique cases like this, where you have a business that never even got started. I think it shows that the legal system, even though it's not perfect, it's really trying to find fair solutions, even when things are, you know, not so clear cut.
This whole deep dive has been really insightful, I think, a lot of our listeners. Whether they're entrepreneurs or own a small business or just anyone who's ever relied on a promise can really connect with the issues we're talking about today.
I think so, too. Hoffman versus Red Owl Stores, it's a good reminder about how important it is to communicate clearly and to understand that promises, especially when they involve a lot of risk or reliance, can have real consequences.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else about this case that you think our listeners should, I don't know, keep in mind, anything that might help them if they ever find themselves in a similar situation?
Well, I think it's important to remember that this idea of promissory estoppel, it's not like some magic trick you can use to enforce any casual promise you hear someone make, you know?
Yeah.
There are specific things that have to be there. Like the promise itself has to be clear and definite. It can't just be vague talk, right? And the person who's relying on that promise has to be acting reasonably, and they have to actually suffer some real disadvantage because the promise was broken. It has to be serious.
So it's not like everyone can just go around suing each other over every little broken promise, but it's there to protect people from real unfairness, right? Sounds like finding that balance is exactly what the court was trying to do in the Hoffman case.
Absolutely. The Hoffman versus Red Owl Stores decision was a big deal. It really helped define what promissory estoppel is and how it can be used. And we're still seeing its impact today. It's like a warning to businesses, you know, reminding them that their words matter.
Yeah.
And they can have serious legal consequences.
This whole deep dive has really been eye-opening. It makes you think about how agreements, even without a ton of legal documents, can have a huge effect on people's lives.
It really does. It highlights how important it is to really think about the promises we're making, both in business and in our personal lives. A handshake, it might not always be legally binding, but it should stand for something, you know, like our integrity and our willingness to do what we say we're going to do.
I like that. So as we wrap up our look at this case, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the most important thing to remember is that fairness and justice, they're at the core of our legal system. The court's decision to side with Hoffman, even though there wasn't a traditional contract, I think it really shows their commitment to making sure people aren't harmed and to holding people accountable for their actions.
That's a powerful point. It makes you realize that the law, it's not just about all those rules and regulations. It's about trying to find fair and just solutions.
Exactly. And even though all the details of promissory estoppel might seem a bit complicated, the idea behind it is pretty simple. Keep your promises. It's about doing the right thing.
So much to learn from this one case. We've covered a lot today, but I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. How does this story, with its focus on how much a promise really matters, change how you view the agreements you make, you know, in your own life? Does it make you think twice before making a commitment? Or maybe just reinforces the idea of sticking to your word, even when things get difficult. Something to ponder, folks. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of promissory estoppel. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and as always, keep it deep.